We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.
Joe Ostrowski.
Ostrowski's gone.
Stunt picked up, throws middle of the end zone. In tight coverage, caught for the touchdown. Touchdown, Cole Kmet.
You cannot lose games in the NFL and still win.
The Bears barely won that game. Whoopee, you guys doing something.
Get my hate on.
That's our job as coaches, to make sure that we get these freaking details right.
Snap, keeper, Bowles, tries to jam it in there. He's in for the touchdown. On the quarterback keeper. There are your first points of the third quarter of 2020.
You're listening to the Joe O Show.
We couldn't live without Joe Ostrowski.
Nights on 670 The Score.
Tom and McHenry, what's going on?
Hey, Nick.
My name's Joe.
It's Hour on the Score, brought to you by Vasectomy Clinics of Chicago. Welcome on in. This is the full 4-hour show of the week that I'm getting. Tomorrow here, 6 to 8, but we've got Bears-Panthers coming your way at 8 o'clock right here on Sports Radio 670, The Score. So, you know, if you're a regular listener, you understand. When it comes to the Bears, I'm a very positive individual. I am about most teams in town, but when it comes to the Bears, that's me. I'm looking for the sunshine in life. And how could you be upset about what's going on with your Bears? I have many different angles that I want to address. We see some national news coming out very early this morning about the Bears, and it kind of flew under the radar. There's a lot of things flying under the radar. Anything that's not saying Bears 5-1, it's just kind of out there. But there are a lot of interesting things that we need to address with this team, and the us against the world mentality is out there, and they're using it at Hallis Hall, and I don't think it's a bad thing. But it's also happened with some of the fan base. But I got to tell you, the Bears fans that I've interacted, I'm sure many of you, you guys have been very measured about all this. Like, you see the issues. It's not Super Bears, Super Bowl. One loss is going to be it for the season, 15-1. Like, you see what's out there in the Chiefs or some of the good teams and how many points they're able to put up on the board. But you have to be very thrilled with what you've seen so far. And I am not the biggest Ryan Pace fan, but I'll get into how he has had a very strong last year as general manager of this team. Some guys that are contributing immediately that he's brought in. Welcome on in. Joe Ostrowski here, 312-644-6767. Remember that number. Keep it handy. That's how you can call or text us. I'm on Twitter. You can reach me there at Joe0670, at Joe0670. If you're into sports betting, don't forget my daily sports betting show on the radio.com app. You can subscribe to the podcast, then pick out what you want to listen to later on because we break it down into chunks. It airs live weekdays 9 to 11 a.m. Follow us on BetSweats on Twitter, at BetSweats. Do that show with NFL analyst Ross Tucker every single day. It's fantastic. We have a lot of fun. Even if you aren't into sports betting, it's really, you know, this time of year, just a big NFL show, and we spend a good amount of time on the Bears. And he does some pregame work for the Eagles, so we'll be talking about that Thursday game coming up a whole bunch. And he was calling that Chiefs game last night, Chiefs Bills, and how he was talking about this morning, how awkward it was. No Bills Mafia, and you get the opportunity to see the greatest quarterback in the world in a completely empty stadium last night. We need to make that an every week thing. I didn't see one person complain that you had game one of a Monday night football doubleheader at 4 o'clock in the afternoon, I think, because most of us are working from home these days. So you can hit me up 312-644-6767. Executive producer Jordan Malley here. We'll hear from the Action Network Sean Zarillo later on this hour, talk about the World Series just over an hour away. We'll check in with Brad Spielberger. He's a big Bears fan and he works at Pro Football Focus. So sometimes he's like me and he goes a little off the rails when it comes to the Bears and you start to compare the Bears to other teams. But the bottom line is they're 5-1 and you need to stop pushing against it at some point. Like, okay, it's time to start giving this team some credit. Sure, you can call paper tigers or fraudulent, all that stuff in the first month of the season, but we're now 6 weeks into the year. At 5-1, you've got to be thrilled as a Bears fan. And there are a lot of different angles going on with this team right now. And the national story that I was alluding to that came out early this morning was from ESPN, Jeremy Fowler and Dan Graziano. And I'm not sitting here like it's breaking news or anything, but I certainly think it's notable that there are executives around the league paying attention to what's happening here in Chicago. And they think maybe things have changed about how they were feeling about the head coach general manager combo coming into the year and how they feel right now after this 5-1 start. Here's what they write about the Bears situation. The mini headline here is saving jobs in Chicago. The Bears are 5-1 somehow, and a run to the playoffs could spare not only coach Matt Nagy, but also GM Ryan Pace, in spite of the disastrous outcome of the Mitchell Trubisky pick. Most people with whom we've talked think the Nagy-Pace pairing gets another year at least, which means another shot to try to solve the quarterback situation there. The way the Bears are playing, they aren't going to have a very high pick with which to do it. Because remember, all those ones, they're gone now. Khalil Mack trade. The last one went away. Now, the problem is Ryan Pace hasn't been great with his very high draft picks. All that makes perfect sense to me. So Matt Nagy has 2 years left on his contract. I believe Ryan Pace has 1 year left. Nagy 42, Ryan Pace 43 years old. I think that's worth bringing up because both very young in their careers. You know, it's a climb to get to this point, head coach and general manager. That takes time. But are they still learning on the job? Now, Pace has had, what, 6 drafts? I would lean more to Matt Nagy on that you can make that case. Because remember, he was not a play caller very long in Kansas City. It was literally half of a season. And then he got hired to be the full-time head coach / play caller here in Chicago. And he just got his quarterback. He's had his quarterback for 3.5 games. At least the one for now. Maybe not the one for the long-term future. But the only way that Matt Nagy was going to be on the hot seat in 2020 is it had to go from 12-4, we know how that ended, to 8-8. Expected a little bit, I think, if you're being sensible. Expected regression, certainly on the defensive side of the ball. Everything didn't go as perfect as it did in year one. That happens in this league. Flips quickly. But the key is what was going to happen in year three. And now they've put themselves in such a great position with a 5-1 record. The disastrous season's not happening. The fire every 1 year was 3-13 or 4-12. There were some pundits that were projecting that for the Bears. They were so down on this Bears team. And it was clearly going one of two ways. They were going to bounce back, or it was going to get much worse, and we're having the conversation of, do you get rid of just the general manager or the head coach and the GM? Is one of them going to make it? Well, that conversation's done, and that's why I think it's interesting that people around the league are talking about the Bears. And I'm one of Pace's biggest critics, and he's made his share of just foolish moves. We know about Trubisky, Kevin White, Leonard Floyd, Shaheen, Grasso, moved up for Anthony Miller, don't know about him yet. We'll see if Quinn was worth the money. But if you're going to bring those up, I mean, that's the easy thing to do. Hand raised. I'm guilty of it. But you also have to bring up some of the good moves.
and having the ability to make the move for Mac and get Allen Robinson in here. Now, please extend him. Eddie Jackson and Goldman. You have to bring those up as well. And the reason I say that Pace has had a very strong offseason to this point is we saw Andy Dalton last night without an offensive line. They went from one of the great offensive lines in the league to having nothing. They have nothing because of the injuries. But how would Dalton look here without much of an offensive line? Paid attention to what's happened with the Patriots and Cam Newton. Now, I have said take multiple swings. I didn't love that they got a journeyman quarterback, but it's the guy that Matt Nagy wanted. So Ryan Pace gave in. I'm sure there was some give and take, and Nagy asked, can you start the season with my guy one more shot? And he gave in, and Nagy calculated perfectly, and he figured out the right time to pull him. Give Foles enough time against a very weak defense against Atlanta. Comeback victory. Now there's no way you can pull him again, barring injury. And my thing with Ryan Pace isn't just the Trubisky thing that was brought up in the Nugget by ESPN. That's not it. My issue with Pace is he refuses to keep swinging on the most important position in all of sports. Trade for Foles? Good. Go get somebody else too. Doesn't work? Get somebody else next year. Please do that. But the problem is when you trade away all this draft capital year after year, that's hard to do. Foles looks better than Dalton. Looks better than Cam. That Patriots, I know it's a COVID mess out there, and there were multiple defensive players that opted out. But if you just look at that offense, the only time they're scoring touchdowns is late in games during garbage time for that below 500 team. The Miami Dolphins have a better record than New England right now. It's a mess. And I don't think Rivers was ever coming here. Nice comeback this week. That wouldn't work. Rivers with a bad offensive line. And I don't think anybody was ever calling for that. And I hope that they wouldn't outdo the $1 for $25 million that he received from Indianapolis. But maybe when it's all said and done, of the free agent options that were out there, Foles is going to be the best one. Is it great? No, because there aren't great quarterbacks available in that market. There just aren't. If you have a quarterback, you lock him up. It's not hard to figure out. But maybe Foles is going to be the best guy of the group. Jimmy Graham has already exceeded my expectations. He has more touchdowns this year than each of his last 2 years with Aaron Rodgers in Green Bay. He's got 4. Remember 2017 with Seattle when he had 10? Due to this hot start, it's possible to be close to that. And the draft, even though you didn't have a first-round pick, Jalen Johnson, immediate impact. Mooney, we'll see. But the team clearly has a lot of belief in Mooney, and in some weeks he's getting more time on the field than Anthony Miller. Now, Komet will decide the draft overall, probably. Because Jimmy Graham, he can't move, but he can score touchdowns. He's a red zone threat. But overall, even someone that has not been a fan of Pace at all, I have to admit that he's had a very good year. Very good year. Now, it's easy to say that when they're 5-1. It is. If they finish the season 8-8 and they somehow miss the playoffs there, I even think if you go 8-8 this year that you might make it. But who knows? 7 wins might win the NFC East. Are you kidding me right now? Boy, oh boy. They're going to host a playoff game. The winner of that division. Embarrassing. I mean, that Cowboys outfit, just roll into the game. You're going to put up 40 if you want to put up 40. Just show up. That's what the Bears offense needs to do. All of a sudden, they'll be much higher in all the statistical categories if they just play the Cowboys for a game. My goodness. And Matt Nagy has his issues too. But listen, he can't be anywhere near the hot seat. it's a different job, and he wasn't given 3 free years like Ryan Pace was to just completely change the roster. But the man has a 66% win rate, right? I mean, he's 25-13. Now the next step, sure, win the division again, that'd be nice, but win a playoff game. That's what you have to do, and that's what's holding me back from saying he's a great head coach. I mean, great head coach, you've got to make a deep playoff run for me. But that's how I roll. But, okay, it's looking like in 3 years you're going to have 2 playoff appearances. The Bears are relevant. They've been irrelevant for so long. And it's such a comforting feeling. They're not perfect. They have their issues. Look at the NFC. Where's the perfect team? Please help me out. There's one undefeated team since the Packers lost this weekend. It's Seattle. They were on a bye. They are far from perfect. They live in one-score games. And there's Russell Wilson at the end, scrambling, trying to find a way to win a game. And he usually does. And right now, he's clearly the leader in the MVP race. Josh Allen's completely out after his last 2 primetime performances. But where's the great team? The most balanced team was at Soldier Field last week. A team that has a strong offense, now that Tom Brady's weapons are completely healthy, with Godwin and Evans on the field. And they still have a strong defense. Vita Vea, the stud defensive tackle, went down to injury against the Bears. That was a concern for some people about the Bucs. Would they still have that stout run D? They didn't seem to have any issues against Green Bay. We'll see. But they are the most balanced NFC team. But there is no perfect NFC team. Tom Brady at times, turning back the clock, and then other times, like, yeah, this is why some of the talking head shows start to bring up the fact that maybe Brady is done. New Orleans Saints doesn't have a defense. They don't. Arizona Cardinals, like Kyler Murray train, I was on it early, but he was not great last night. He wasn't. And again, that's the worst defense in football that he was going up against. They have some firepower. They have some talent on that roster, but they're not great. The Packers have defensive issues. Seattle, a lot of problems on defense. They're among the worst in the league, but they're still undefeated because they have Russell Wilson. So the Bears, it's just flipped. They have the strong defense that these other teams don't have. They have issues on offense. Now, with a larger sample size of 6 games and seeing that quarterback, maybe I bought into the hype. But just hearing Nick Foles after the game, he's right. Barring injury, there's no reason to think that this offense can't get better. And there are some people coming out of the woodwork that are pointing out Trubisky and Foles stats. Please, let's stop right there. I'll go a little bit more in detail about that. 44 starts for one guy, 3 starts for the other. Let's stop and consider the opponents that each quarterback has faced. I want to go through that. And also, there's something to admitting when you're wrong. And maybe the Bears are an 8-8 team. That's possible. They have a very tough schedule coming up. Maybe they are at the end. But sometimes in this league, with razor-thin margins, a few things go your way, changes everything. Is there really that much of a gap between a 7-9 season and going 10-6? Not really. And we saw that play out in 2018 and 2019, and here we are in 2020, and the Bears have a quarterback that you can trust, at least. A guy that can run the offense, and look how things have changed. Sitting here 5-1. You want to hop on? Text lines open. Phone lines are open. 312-644-6767. 312-644-6767. I want to talk about these flawed stats that people are starting to bring up comparing Foles and Trubisky next. I'm Joe Ostrowski on 670 The Score and the radio.com app.
I'm pretty excited right now. We're 5-1.
This is Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com. Chicago Sports Station.
Joe Osho, Sports Radio 670 The Score. Jordan Malley producing tonight. You know, every time you think that things are bad here with the Bears, just think about what's going on in Dallas right now. I wouldn't have blinked if he would have called the press conference today and fired Mike McCarthy. Problem is, the Dak injury will be blamed for that. But just look at Mike McCarthy last night. I'm sure Danny Parkins was having a ball with this afternoon. But you could have somebody like that talk yourself into thinking, okay, he's going to revive his career. He's an analytics guy because he said he's an analytics guy. Down 28-3, late in the third quarter, you're trying 58-yard field goals. You could do that. You could have a stud receiver. Oh, I don't know. I guess you can compare him to Allen Robinson, even though he doesn't have A-Rob's credentials. I think CeeDee Lamb's already a number one wideout in this league. Now, they have Amari Cooper on the team as well, but CeeDee Lamb is going to be a star. Yeah, I'm going to bench him for a few series in the first half. Oh, yeah, that one penalty. Yeah, like he's the only guy that had a one penalty. They score a touchdown 31-10, and he's literally kicking it off and then using timeouts instead of trying an onside kick. Trying to establish the run. What are you doing? Zeke Elliott, two lost fumbles. Hey, yeah, we'll sit you for a couple set of downs and go back out there. How about that alone? Making the decision to pay a running back. So I complain about Ryan Pace as much as anyone, but they're not paying running backs. They're not drafting running backs in the first round. So at least there's that. How's Saquon Barkley working out for the Giants right now? Anyways, 312-644-6767, 312-644-6767. Joe Ostrowski with you, Sports Radio 670. The score, want to get to some Foles and some Trubisky stuff that we see going on. Matt in Geneva is checking in. There he is. I couldn't find it on the screen where their name and location was. Matt in Geneva, you're on 670 The Score with Joe O. What's going on, Matt?
Hey, man, how's it going? You know, I had a question for you here. So we brought in Nick Foles to score touchdowns, and we keep settling on field goals. You know, are our receivers not getting enough separation off the ball? Because it seems like every time he throws a close, you know, a 50-50 ball, we're just not winning that battle. And so we can't be settling for field goals when it comes to Green Bay, L.A., New Orleans, et cetera. So what do we need to do? Run the ball more? Maybe try and top off the defense a little bit more? So what's happening, man?
Gotcha. Thanks, man. Appreciate the phone call. Well, there's a lot of things there. Run the ball more, you asked that. I think most Bears fans would like Matt Nagy to run the ball more, to have some sort of a commitment to having a balanced attack on offense. And if what he ends up doing with this offense is he tries to use the short passing game as an extension of the run, if that's where we're at because of the inability of the offensive line, I would not have a problem with that. I really wouldn't. But why aren't we seeing touchdowns right away from Nick Foles ever since the Falcons game? Good question. It kind of leads me into something else that I wanted to address. Not here to make excuses. It's just the facts. They didn't have much practice time. The little practice time that they did have, they had a quarterback competition. Because the general manager made a back-breaking decision by taking Mitchell Trubisky, and that has clearly not worked out. So, okay, fine, we'll go bring in some competition, and in the COVID offseason, let's have our quarterback competition then. So now he's splitting the reps. We all know that Nick Foles is going to be the guy. As long as he's healthy, he's going to play the majority of the year. All of us know this, including the head coach. But they had to act like they were having a true quarterback competition, and that's what happened. So that's an issue. What I don't want to hear, and I'm starting to get it already, is if you say anything positive about Nick Foles in any form or fashion, there is a group of fans that come out and say, but here are the numbers. Look at 2020. Trubisky didn't lose a game. Well, he's going to lose that Atlanta game. Let's remember that. Didn't lose a game.
some of the stats are better.
Which stats? Yards per attempt. I like that stat. Trubisky 6-5, Foles 5-8. Both 6 passing touchdowns, interceptions, 3 Trubisky, 4 Foles. Quarterback rating, a little bit higher. It's a flawed stat, but it's higher for Trubisky, 87-80. Here's the problem. Mitchell Trubisky had 44 starts. 44 starts to prove that he can play at this level, to prove that you could win because of him, that he isn't going to blow games from time to time. 44 starts. Matt Nagy gave him 3 more this year. I don't think he had to. Could have started the season. Nick Foles is our starter. We don't know what's happening behind the scenes. I think we can all guess. And there are people that want to fight me about that. Oh, Ryan Pace didn't make him do anything. Okay, listen, they have a working relationship. Sometimes you don't have to make it. But I thought it was masterful what Matt Nagy did. He did start, and he played Trubisky for 2.5 games, and they didn't lose one of those games. Nick Foles has made 3 starts. 3. Without much of an offseason. Moody's on the field, I think, more than most of us expected. So I will back Foles on this right now. I know he's not great, and it's nice to have the credentials that he does. He has a Super Bowl ring. He can get hot. He can lead you on a nice winning streak, a playoff run. He's done that in the past. But you have to take the opponents into account. Trubisky's starts came against Detroit, New York Giants, Atlanta. Atlanta's a joke. They fired everyone. Patricia should get fired. And then there's the Giants. They're eh. They're all right. They're all right on defense. They can't score any points. It was set up for Trubisky to dominate, and he didn't. And it wasn't just that Atlanta game. That's why he was pulled. So Trubisky, for the most part, had 3 very soft defenses. And here's Foles. Indianapolis, Tampa Bay, Carolina. Carolina, I can't argue. They put up 23 points. It was enough to win because of the strong defense. I've got to check with the new rankings coming out today. But Colts and Bucks. Going into last week, Colts and Bucks, if you look at Football Outsiders DVOA, which I think is the best way to rank instead of yards per game, stuff like that, takes much more into account. Colts and Bucks, DVOA on defense, 1-2 in the NFL. Those were his first 2 starts. We've got to take that into account. It's been 3.5 games in a COVID year. Still getting used to his teammates. I'm going to buy a little bit of what Nick Foles was selling us in the postgame the other day. They're going to get better. They have to. And it's not like saying it when Trubisky was the guy. Yeah, 27th in yards per play, not good enough. 27th in points per game. 27th in yards per drive. 25th in points per drive. Not good enough. We all know that. With that said, they're 5-1. So they got out of it. And we think they're going to improve. Now, there are a lot of people that said in the offseason, there's no way the offense can be worse. It's got to get better. Well, we're sitting here after 6 games and we're still saying the exact same thing. Okay, so here's the DVOA on defense through week 6. Tampa number 1, Indy number 3. So let's slow down on taking a look at Foles' stats and then comparing them with Trubisky. That is not fair. Not fair. When he's faced 1-3 best defenses, in my mind, in the NFL. And then there's a Carolina game. And they were trying to get the run game going because the Panthers can't stop the run. So let's not play that game of comparing the stats. Oh, 3 starts for this guy, 3 starts for that guy. Let's compare him. Oh, Trubisky's better or just as good. No, he isn't. 44 starts you saw. Let's not go down that road. That's a joke. It's ridiculous. You can't even begin to do that. You know what you've seen. Come on, man. Does that deserve a come on, man?
Come on, man.
lot of Bears stuff I want to get into before I get out of here at 10 o'clock. And also, you know, they're saying it at House Hall. I hear from some Bears fans. No respect, no respect. If you're talking about the point spread for this week, I kind of agree with you. I think 5.5, 6 points. The look-ahead line, which was there before Sunday's game, was 7. So they've adjusted a little bit. But unless it's a big injury, you'll never see an over-adjustment, like a few points, unless there are a bunch of injuries in 1 week. You just don't do that in the league. Don't do that in the NFL betting. But I gotta say, I'm starting to see from some of the national pundits saying the Bears are not just the top 10 team, 6 or 7. 6 or 7. When you throw teams like the Titans, Ravens, Chiefs into the mix, I don't think a lot of people expected that. Steelers still haven't lost a game. There's 4 teams in the AFC that you know are going to be in some order in the top 4. 6 or 7? Bears on tier 2? That's what they've done. That's how strong that defense has looked. There's some making the comp to 2018. That's how great they've been so far. And they're actually playing some pretty good offenses. So maybe it's not about them being fraudulent or just lucky. There are elements of that. They've missed some star offensive players on the opposite side. But come on, you got to give in a little bit at 5-1. Like, okay, maybe I was wrong about that team. Some things are going right, and the defense is back to 2018 in some ways. We'll get to that coming up in a little bit. World Series starts in about 20, 25 minutes from right now. And we're going to hear from the Action Network's Sean Zarillo. He talks a little bit about it from a betting perspective, but just giving you the full preview every which way. Dodgers and Rays, and for one, I am very, very excited about it. Maybe because I predicted it on 670thescore.com right before the season got going. So we're going to get into some World Series action. A lot of Bears, some Bulls and Hawks also before I get out of here at 10 o'clock. This is the Joe O Show on 670 The Score and the radio.com app.
This is Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com, Chicago Sports Station.
If I gave you $100 to bet on any team to win the World Series tonight, which team would you take?
Rays. This is something that you and I talked about. This is a chaotic year, and there's no team that embraces chaos better than the Rays.
Yep.
And they just find a way, Joe. And, you know, if you ask baseball fans, you know, list 1 through 9 the Rays lineup, they may struggle to name half the guy. They only have 3 starting pitchers. But as a collective unit, they do such a terrific job of the next man up and to continue to produce results. And that's also another hungry team. And they have a hunger that they want to show up the New York Yankees this season and let them know that we're not going to fade away. And that's a team. You know, easy money would be the Dodgers. But if there's any team to get better odds than plus 200, I'm sure it's the Dodgers World Series odds at this moment. I would take the Rays.
Yeah, look at my guy Josh Nelson from the Sox Machine, nailing it. Talk about the Rays and the Dodgers. You know, somebody else that had that? Well, there were 3 people. Because I was looking at the 670thescore.com predictions from before the season started, not after the playoffs were all set and we got to see these teams play through their 60-game seasons. No. Before the season started. I did. I picked a Rays-Dodgers matchup. That would be the World Series. I also had Rays-Astros in the ALCS.
Are you serious?
I will not talk about my other NLCS pick. Because I'm like, okay, something crazy is going to happen. So I'll try to pick a team from the NL East. Oh, not the Mets. Yeah, that's what I did. For some reason, I was thinking, the Braves, they're not going to be that good again. So I had the right idea. Just picked the wrong team out of that division because I knew no team from the NL Central was going to make a run like that. I think that's pretty good, hitting 3 of the final 4. Grobber
had the Rays and Dodgers. I believe he took the Dodgers to win it all. I took the Rays. And Kevin Zipak from the Mullion Hall Show also took the Rays and Dodgers. I think he has the Dodgers over the Rays. So if the Rays can win this series, and I think there's a very good chance that they can do that, I think it's more of a coin flip than other people believe. Like, the odds would tell you that, oh, the Dodgers are a runaway favorite. That's not how I'm viewing this series at all. I think it's more of a coin flip. I like my chances of the Rays winning here. Got them 15-1 right before the season started. So I think we've got a good shot here at 15-1. I want to go back to this morning. On Bet Sweats, my daily sports betting show, but it's also just about sports. That's really what it boils down to. 9 to 11 a.m., my co-host is Ross Tucker, NFL analyst. And today we spoke with Sean Zarillo, a baseball analyst from the Action Network. And we started off the conversation previewing the World Series by discussing the Dodgers overcoming the Atlanta Braves.
It was just a combination of what the Braves had left. You know, they still had to get past Fried and Anderson again, who were the Braves' two best pitchers going. You know, you think back to it, like when the Marlins came back against the Cubs, when the Marlins had to do that, they had to get through, where I guess the Cubs had to pitch to get to seven games, and they had Pryor and Wood, and they seemed like they had that rotation set up, and you would expect that the Braves had that rotation kind of set up to get past the Dodgers with the lead, and it didn't work out that way. And, you know, you saw how close all those games were. Betts robbing the home run in game seven. Braves running into outs on the base pass. That was pretty tragic. It seems like that was the point at which that game swung. They could have blown the game open early and just kind of let it slip away on the bases. So, you know, these games, they are just so close. We talked about how narrow the margins are, how high the variance is, and what could play out. And like I said, there was a very small percentage chance that we would get one of these favorites of the World Series, let alone both of them. There was less than a 50% chance of one of them even making it. So the fact that we're here, we've got the two best teams, it's exciting. And, you know, I think the Dodgers' ability to come back, the Astros too, to a little bit, just speaks to the testament of the playoff experience and what they have on those teams. But the Dodgers, just throughout the year, the more you watch them, you know, every time you bet an under against them, it doesn't feel safe because they'll get runners on base late in the game and feel like they're going to hit a couple of two-run homers against you and kind of put it right at the limit of, you know, you pushing or needing nobody to score in order to hit your under. So it's nervy every game with the Dodgers. I'm not surprised ultimately that they did come back. But
so we'll break down game one and how people can bet tonight coming up. But just the outlook, you addressed some of the stuff that jumps out at once. Now we know that we have this matchup, but there are so many different ways. It's not just pick the team to win the World Series, and you can do that, Dodgers, if you want to lay 200, or Tampa Bay plus 160, if you think there's value there. You can also bet the series spread. You can lay a game and a half with the Dodgers, so Dodgers or in six or fewer games, you're good there, and then if the Rays win the series, or it goes to seven games, you would cover that. Or you can bet on the number of games played. Any of those things, series spread or games played, appealing to you?
Yeah, I started projecting that out last night and saw where the value fell. So in terms of the Dodgers' exact series results or the exact number of games in the series, I didn't really see value on any of those eight props. But if you look at the Rays side, and I show projected money line value on the Rays to win the series, so I do have a bet on the Rays. I already have a future on them from the preseason, so I'm doubling down, so to speak, but I'm just taking another value bet, and it's a bet that I think people should make. Basically, the projected range that I have for win percentage for the Dodgers is between 57 to 61%, 57% on the low end, 61% on the more aggressive end. And I really have a hard time getting above them, above that 61% number for them to win this series. So really the upper limit on where I would set their money line is about minus 155. So you can still find the Rays at plus 165 or better in the market. I think that's an actionable price. It opened around plus 190, 95 and got bet down all the way to 160. And then it's kind of come back up and middled again from where it was. So that's where it settled, about 180, 175. You know, other markets, 165. I think you could play it all the way down to that number. In terms of the exact series results, I think you have to look at what people don't want to bet or what people don't expect to bet, or the result to be, I should say. And if you look at, you know, the expert projections crowdsourced from, I believe, ESPN's experts, Fangraphs experts, other places, You know, nobody's picking the Rays in four or the Rays in five. I didn't see a single person on ESPN pick the Rays in four. I think one person picked the Rays in five. So that is where the technical value is. You know, of the Rays, I said they would win the World Series about 41% of the time. Of that 41%, 4% of it is them to sweep and 10% of it is them to win in five games. So you can get those bets down at about plus 2,500, 10-1 for the win in five. I'm okay taking small stabs on either of those. Those are fun little bets. I mean, if the Rays win the series, they have to win in three or four, five, six, or seven. So those are two-year options and by far the ones showing the most value. The bet, though, that I think is most interesting and that I think most people are going to be drawn to is actually the series spread, which is the plus 1.5 games, or like you said, laying the Dodgers minus one and a half games to win the series. They'd have to win in six games or fewer. I gave the Rays, again, a 41% chance of winning the series, but I give the Dodgers a 17% chance of winning in seven games. So if you combine that, that's an implied 58% probability of the Rays either winning the series or losing in seven games and covering that plus 1.5. So I think that's a very actionable bet as well. If you bet it to minus 120, that's about 54.5%. So you're leaving yourself a 3.5% gap in expected value on that bet, even at minus 120. So if you're not, you know, fully comfortable laying the plus 170 on the Rays to win the series, you could bet the plus 1.5. And then if you get to a game seven, you could take that profit that you made and put it on the Rays money line in game seven. You might be getting plus 150 still by that point. So you could end up winning 2.5 units by playing both a little bit creatively if you've already pocketed the money by the time you get to game seven.
I like that, Sean. I want to take kind of a bigger look. We know the Dodgers, right? Like, we know the payroll and Kershaw and Mookie Betts and all that stuff. How does this happen with the Rays? And is this something that other franchises can replicate? How does it happen with this payroll that they can be this good?
Yeah, so the Rays kind of infrastructure was developed and put into place by Andrew Friedman, who's now the president of baseball operations for the Dodgers. And even though these other big budget teams have built out their analytical staffs, built out what they have behind the scenes in terms of supporting their players, supporting their coaches, you know, supporting player development, just with resources off the field, they still can't really replicate what the Rays are doing. And, you know, until you've worked for that organization or know what's going on inside of the room, I can't really tell you with 100% certainty what they're doing that's so much better than everybody else. But I do know one thing that they do well is communication. And anything that the front office deems is the best possible outcome for their team, Kevin Cash is perfectly willing to implement it. And all of the players are on the same page with, you know, I'm going to get pulled out of this game, or I might not get that fourth at bat today, but I know it's for the best of the team, and I know it's going to increase their chances of winning. And there's no egos there. There's no guys making a ton of money who are, you know, gonna let that get in the way of things. They seem to identify not only guys who are talented and whose skills they can manipulate to make better, but also personalities who are okay with that process and you know, continuing to grow as players, develop as players, but also to let your teammates have their moment when it's their time. And we've just seen Kevin Cash sort of pull the right strings throughout the playoffs. But it's the front office finding these gems like Pete Fairbanks, who had two Tommy John surgeries and is now throwing triple digits. You know, Diego Castillo and Jose Alvarado, who are kind of bookends from one another. If you look at their two deliveries, a righty and a lefty reliever who both throw high velocity, they're literally mirror images of one another, and one's a righty and one's a lefty. So the ability to flip a guy like Chris Archer, who is, you know, considered a coveted piece, and get attacked by the industry saying that they're tanking, and, you know, they end up winning 90 games that year with Glasnow and Austin Meadows. They're doing more with their resources than any other team, except perhaps maybe Cleveland. Cleveland's right there with them in terms of managing their budget and their players and acquiring talent for cheap. But, you know, there's an adage that you never make a trade with the Rays because they win every deal. You know, I love this trade for the Rays. Who'd they get? That's like the joke that goes around every time they make a deal. So it's everything that they do off the field and the belief of the players who are there to buy into that and accept that, you know, whatever suggestions are being made are just to improve them as players and help the team win. And, you know, it's not like the Dodgers aren't doing the same thing. It's just the Rays are doing it with 1/5 of the payroll and 1/5 of the name brand talent. And because they have that pitching, I mean, we're seeing the best against the best in the World Series, and that's what you want. Like, when you get to the Super Bowl, you typically have either the offensive or defensive unit that kind of dominated the rest of the league throughout the year. And I think we have the best hitting with the Dodgers and the best pitching with the Rays, and we're going to see how it plays out.
That was Sean Zarillo from the Action Network on BetSweats earlier today. This is Joe Ostrowski with you, Sports Radio 670, The Score. So BetSweats is my weekday sports betting show. You can catch live 9 to 11 a.m. on radio.com app. If you really want to watch me in my basement office, you can watch me do the show on radio.com/BetSweats. So check us out every single day, and we'll start to turn the page, taking a look at week 7 in the NFL starting tomorrow, and also with Big Ten action starting this Friday night and a full card on Saturday. We'll start to get into that. I know Adam Rittenberger does a great job covering the Big Ten for ESPN. He will drop by the show tomorrow, along with many other fantastic guests. So I want to get back to a little bit of this Bears conversation that we were having earlier on. And The Athletic ran a very fascinating piece. It's a small sample, but what we've seen from this 2020 Bears defense and how you can make a pretty decent comp to what we saw in 2018. That's next. Joe Ostrowski with you on 670 The Score and the radio.com app.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
O'Reilly.